Hello and welcome to Beef Fashion. I'm Jean Malouf and I work at Orange in France. And I'm very happy to talk today about CAFCOP, Cassandra operator for Kubernetes that we develop at Orange.
So my name is Sébastien Alamand and I also work at Orange France and I'm the main developer of this operator. And our company is working for client data, so it's why we use Cassandra.
As you may know, Orange is the main operator, the main telecom operator in France, and also operates in many other countries in Europe and mainly in Africa too. Just a few numbers about Orange, just to have a quick view about this company. Nearly 264 billion customers worldwide, more than 150,000 employees, six main activities with different kinds of customers. What about Cassandra at Orange? We've been using Cassandra for many years now because we deployed our first Cassandra cluster in production in 2012. At this time, it was version 1.1. And we mainly use this Cassandra for critical applications. And usually, we use a multi-region architecture. We deploy this Cassandra cluster in our own data centers. We began by a first very simple use case, first Cassandra cluster with only four nodes, and now we have more use cases with several teams, and we have a few thousands of Cassandra nodes in our data centers. We use mainly two kinds of modelization key values, and for that we have developed a REST API. Our client application connect to this API named Valky. And we can read and write their data using the key value modelization. And another API, which is named GGraph, for reading and writing data using a graph modelization. Currently, we use the version that we use in production is 3.11. A few words about Kubernetes now. You may know probably that Kubernetes is a container orchestration which helps for automating application deployment, application management, and also scaling up, scaling down, and automate a lot of operation in our data center. With Kubernetes, what we would like to do, so we have a long roadmap. We would like to use Kubernetes for quite all our components to deploy those components in our data centers, of course. So we have some stateless components, some stateful components. Among the stateful components, you can see there are Cassandra, HDFS, Kafka, Postgres, Elasticsearch, and there are also some homemade stateless components such as Valky and GGraph that I talked about a few seconds ago, and a few others. For now, we mainly deploy and operate those components in our own data center, but we would like also to deploy them during in the next future, in public clouds. That's why we need automation tools in a hybrid cloud infrastructure.
So we decided to deploy our Cassandra in Kubernetes clusters. So I will introduce a few concepts here of Kubernetes. So the first one is a controller. So a Kubernetes controller is like a program which is an infinite loop, which will try to make attempt to have a real state on a desired state. So user define desired state for each object, and the controller will make effect that the desired state will be deployed in the cluster and will be the real state. So we have also the notion of an operator. An operator is just another controller in Kubernetes. but it allows us to deploy custom resources. So we will define our own resource that we will deploy in the Kubernetes clusters and that will be managed to be operated like it's a real a native Kubernetes object. So we will use this custom resource definition to configure of a resource. So in our case, it will be a Cassandra cluster, so a new resource. And that will allow us to deploy and manage Cassandra in Kubernetes. So by default, Kubernetes allows us to deploy a stateless application out of the box using different primitives in Kubernetes. But for stateful components, we need additional requirements. So we need local and persistent storage. In our case, we also need to have predictive and Unix pods name because each time a pod will reboot, it will change its IP address, so we can't rely on the IP. And for Cassandra, we need a way to handle specific behavior which are related to Cassandra and which is not known by Kubernetes by default. So we needed an operator. At the end of 17, Kores introduced the operator pattern. And a few after, the open source operator SDK, which we even use to build our operator. At this time, we're still missing a Cassandra operator and multi-region management. So we decided to develop our. We started at a proof of concept in order to see if it was possible to manage Cassandra in Kubernetes. And because it was successful, we decided to open source our work, which is Kscop. A few words about Kubernetes. I think most of you are already familiar with it. But Kubernetes, we have a master on the worker node. And on every different worker node, we will deploy workloads, which are deployed as pods. So a pod is an elementary unit to be deployed in Kubernetes. A pod can have one or more Docker containers. Every pod will share the same IP address, and every volume which is mounted into the pod can also be shared between the different containers. And we can attach to pods some config maps or secrets in order to be shared by the pod. So the controller. So for a controller, as I said previously, we will define a desired state, which, for example, we explain what we want to deploy. This desired state will be a YAML file, a definition, or a JSON file, or we can also define it using a Helm template, which is like an apt-get for Kubernetes. Once we have deployed this YAML object file, we will submit it to the controller. We submit this file to the Kubernetes API. And regarding the object definition, the Kubernetes API will send it to the specific controller which is associated to the object we have submitted. And then the controller will try to deploy our object in the clusters. And everything in Kubernetes is an object, so a pod is an object, config map is an object, even a node is an object. So the controller is reconciling the desired state to the current state which is deployed in the cluster. So if there is a change in the data set or in the current state, the controller is here to reconcile and to apply it to the cluster. There's a pattern which we already use in our operator, which is a stateful set. The stateful set allows us to have a predictive name for each of our pods. So we will use stateful set to have a certain number of pods deployed in the cluster. And using the stateful set, we will know the pods. So in this example, each pod are named Cassandra Demo. Then we have the name of the DC, the name of the rack, and then an index, which starts with 0 and goes to n. And if we scale up the stateful set, we will add n plus 1. And if we go scale down, we remove the last one. So we know every time which one is going to be updated. And stateful set also allows us to make running updates of our pods. So it's easy to make change, like change the version of the Docker image, or adding a new config file, and applying a running update on the stateful set. When we create a pod, In the stateful set, we will ask using a storage class. So in our case, we even use the local storage. So local storage must be deployed on every node, which are configured by the administrators. And when we start the stateful set, we say, OK, I want a pod with 50 gigabits of data storage, for example. So it will find the node associated which has this this kind of data available, and there will be a link which is named the persistent volume claim, which links the pod to the node we have deployed to. There's different storage classes. For example, if you use a GKE, you can use other storage class also. With Cascop, we use headless services to access to our Cassandra node. So when a client wants to discover the cluster, first he calls the headless services, and the headless services will bring up all the IP address of all the nodes which are part of the Cassandra clusters. Then the application is able to communicate directly with each of the Cassandra nodes. So what's the operator principle? As I said previously, we have a custom resource on the custom controller, which is the operator. The operator always is listening for a user action, for like a new object, a reconfiguration of the custom resources. It's also listening to Kubernetes events, like a change of the resources that are managed by the operator. And it takes action on the cluster by talking to the Kubernetes. In our case, the Cascop, so our CRD is named Cassandra Cluster. We define in a YAML file the topology of the Cassandra cluster we want to deploy. We manage DC and rack repetition of the nodes. And our operators is also able to talk to the Kubernetes clusters and also directly to the Cassandra pods using a GMX call. In fact, we use Jolokia to call to the GMX over HTTP. The operator is based on the operator framework and is developed in the Go language. So what are the benefits from the operator? So we want to have more automation and more agility in our deployment. We want to be sure that every cluster is deployed with the best practices. We want also to interact with the cluster only using Kubernetes API, and we also have deployed a plugin to interact with our cluster. We have the capacity to deploy and operate everywhere, and our goal also is to use less hardware resources. So, using Cascop, the goal of the operator is As we have said, we have the custom resource, so the object which defines the cluster we want to deploy in the Kubernetes, which is our desired state, and the Cascop will reconcile and deploy into the cluster our real state. Cassandra works as a DC on the rack runner, so we can create some several DC, and for each DC, several racks. And the Cascop, by default, Kubernetes clusters use more, like we can say, region and zones. But if you have on-premise, you can have other concepts. But it doesn't matter. The operator will adapt to every kind of deployment. And in order to interact with the cluster, we either interact with a custom resource. For example, if we want to make a scale-up, scale-down, or a rolling restart to apply a new Cassandra image or configuration change, or through our plugin we will see later. So when we deploy Kubernetes nodes, we add some labels on each of the nodes. So in this example, we have a region 1 and zone C for this node, region 1 and zone B for this set of nodes, and region 1 and zone D for this one. Our Cascop will deploy a specific Kubernetes stateful set for each of the zone we want to deploy to, and we will create a DC1 and a rack1 for this one. So DC1, rack1 will go only to Kubernetes nodes. We have region 1 and zone B. And the DC2, rack2 will go in another zone. and the DC1 rack 3 in another zone, so that we know when we deploy, if a zone fails, we only lose a rack, and with a replication factor, Cassandra will be able to keep its data safe. And all of these stateful sets, in fact, are part of the same Cassandra cluster. So this is an example of the new Cassandra cluster custom resource that we deploy. So we have some metadata in this file. We define the Docker image and version we want to deploy. We can add some config map in order to modify default configuration parameters for Cassandra. We choose the data capacity. We can choose the data storage class. And we define resources that we want to deploy for our Cassandra nodes. And also, we will have a topology section. So it's in this section that we will create the Cassandra DC and racks, and that we map them to a specific Kubernetes node using labels that must be present of those nodes. And if we want, for example, to make a scale up, scale down, we just have to update the nodes per rack. So updating this nodes per rack will add one node in each of those racks. So this parameter is at DC level. So we ensure to have always the same number of Cassandra nodes in each of the racks of one DC. So this is an example of pods that are created using the operator. So the name here of the Cassandra object is a Cassandra demo. And we have DC1, DC2, and rack one, three rack for each DC. And we can see here on the left side that's the view at the Kubernetes level. And on the right side is the view at Cassandra level. So we can see that we have also the same information as DC1, DC2, and the three rack on each one.
Now, if our Cassandra cluster is up, what we could do so from time to time is to we want to execute some tasks. So for that, what we can do, we have developed a plugin, a Cascade plugin. And for example, if we have done a scale up, we would like to clean up the node in order to clean the data which moved to the new nodes. In this case, what we can do is to use this plugin. For example, here we want to execute a cleanup action on each Cassandra nodes. In this case, we execute this command kubectl cascop cleanup start nodes, and we can specify the nodes we want to target. The goal of this plugin is not to start the cleanup task, just to set labels on these pods. And it sets two labels. The first one is the kind of task we want to execute. In this example, it is a cleanup task. And the second label is the status of this task. By default, the plugin will set this status to do. When the operator detects that there is a status there is a pod which has the status to do, it will start this task on the first pod, only one pod at a time, because it's safer for Cassandra. And the status will be set to in progress. The operator will set the status to in progress and will start the cleanup task. When the task is terminated, the status is set to done, and the task can start immediately to the next pod. We can continue like this for all the pods. So when the task is terminated on the second pod, the status is set to done on the second pod, and it starts on the third pod. As you may know, this kind of task may take a long time. So in this case, maybe you could have some task that we would like to execute and which have a higher priority. In this case, what you can do also is to ask Cascop to pause this task. So you can send a command, kubectl cascop cleanup pause, and all the pods which have a status to do, their status are set to pause. Here, the cleanup will continue to the third pod until it is terminated. And here, when the cleanup is terminated on the third pod, you can do what you want. You can start for your task with which have a higher priority. And then when we want to resume the cleanup on the latest pod, you can use the plugin with a command resume. In this case, all the pods which were in pause status, their status are set to to-do, and then the operator will detect that there is a task in to-do status and will execute the cleanup task on the remaining pods. So, as we have seen, if we want to interact with Cassandra, we have two ways for that. The first one is using Cassandra YAML file, and we can use the usual Kubernetes command, kubectl apply, and you can specify the YAML file. And that's why usually we can deploy a new Cassandra cluster or do scaling up, scaling down. And also you can use the plugin in order to execute commands on each pods. This plugin, so we just set some labels on pods, and the operator will execute the task according to the labels which are set on the pods. So it means that you don't need anymore to use NodeTool or other Cassandra commands to manage to operate Cassandra if you use Cascop. About repairs, we can deploy Cassandra repairs in Kubernetes. So in this case, we use, of course, Cassandra as a backend for Cassandra repair because Cassandra repair needs a backend. About backup restore, in this case, there are already some packages which are published in open source, and we can use, for example, the backup restore, which is available in the GitHub of InstaCluster. So this package is able to trigger snapshot, transfer data to S3. But for now, we have not yet begun to implement it in the operator. We will do it in the next weeks. About monitoring, we use Prometheus and Grafana. We use also the Prometheus exporter developed and published by InstaCluster, so you can find some information in the GitHub of InstaCluster. We use Alert Manager for alerts, and also we use Elasticsearch and Kibana for storing and visualizing logs. Some examples of dashboards that we can get from Prometheus and Grafana. First of all, we have two sources of metrics. The first one is from C-Advisor. C-Advisor is a collector for resource usage of each container. So we can get the usage, the CPU usage, the memory usage, network usage, and file system usage, for example. And also some metrics from Cassandra, which is the second source that we can get via GMX. Here is still a work in progress, but we like also to have an overview of a cluster, of a Cassandra cluster, so we can also define some dashboards in order to, and we aggregate some metrics of each pod to have an overview of a Cassandra cluster. When we work on Cascop, we saw some differences between Cassandra and Kubernetes, so we had to deal with them. The first one, Sébastien explained it a few minutes ago. It was how to be rack aware with a Cassandra cluster deployed in Kubernetes. So in this case, Kubernetes has no native support for being rack aware, so in this case, the solution we chose is to create one stateful set per rack. What does it mean? It means that if we want to replace a Cassandra node, the new node will be replaced in the same stateful set. It means in the same rack or in the same zone than the previous one. About multi-region also, a Cassandra cluster is often multi-regions, and the Kubernetes cluster is only mono-region. For now, we cannot have a Kubernetes cluster multi-region. So there are some works on that with the Federation Interest Group, but it's not yet production ready. But Sébastien will talk in the next slide how we are dealing with that.
So how we ensure the high availability of our Cassandra clusters? So there are different levels for that. The first one is if there is a problem of the pod, automatically Kubernetes will restart it in case, for example, for out of memory. As we said also, we use stateful set. So stateful set know how to manage every pod it has in its stateful set. But in Cascop, we have several stateful sets because we deploy one stateful set for each one of the rack. So we have added the pod distribution budget, which allows us to target all the pods of the clusters and to know at the Cascop level if there is one pod which is missing in any of the different stateful sets which are deployed. So using the pod distribution budget, we know if there is a problem in one of the racks. And in this case, Cascop won't allow to make any change which can add more distribution on the cluster. As we already say, so we have a rack aware or a zone aware, and we are working with the multi-region deployment, which is a mandatory for us to go in production, and I'll talk it just now. So for the multi-region, we are going to have different Kubernetes clusters, which have nothing to do. Which have nothing in common. So it's three different clusters. And we have added a new operator, which we have named Multicascope, which will be deployed in one of the Kubernetes clusters. And this operator, we have the ability to talk to the different Kubernetes API on every Kubernetes cluster we want to deploy the Cassandra on it. So the Multicascope operator will have a new CRD, which is the Multicassandra cluster. So we define one Multicassandra cluster in the Kubernetes cluster where the Multicascope is deployed. And automatically, the Multicascope operator will create the Cassandra cluster CRD object in each of the other Kubernetes clusters. Using this mechanism, the Multicascope operator know exactly, and we will pre-configure the seed list in order to every Kubernetes cluster, Cassandra clusters in different Kubernetes clusters, to reach and be part of the same Cassandra ring. And the Multicascope will operate Kubernetes of different Kubernetes, and every time one Kubernetes at a time. So we, and because Cascop is always working on one Cassandra node at a time, we are ensuring that we won't have disruption on the cluster. So the Multicascope needs to talk to different API, but his only right is to create the Cassandra cluster object. So it won't be a real security issue because he won't have more privilege on the targeted Kubernetes cluster. So once we have deployed the Cassandra clusters in each of the Kubernetes, each one will deploy its Cassandra clusters that we previously saw using different DC and racks. And all of the Cassandra clusters will be part of the same Cassandra ring. The main requirement for this is that every pod in every Kubernetes clusters must be able to communicate with each other. So we dealt it outside of the scope of the operator. And we have tried a different approach for this using Istio and GKU, which allow us to have a pod communication between different clusters. And in our on-premise data center, we use the Calico with an external BGP address. So every pod in each region is able to communicate with each other. What about maintenance operation We have the ability to drain a Kubernetes node for maintenance, and because we are using local storage, when the Kubernetes nodes go down, the Cassandra pods will go down also, and it won't be rescheduled in another node because it is stick to this Kubernetes node regarding the persistent volume claim we saw earlier. Once the maintenance of the Kubernetes node is done and the Kubernetes node is bring back into life, the Cassandra pods will boot again and will bring back the Cassandra ring. And for the operation which are done using the custom resources, we can do a rolling restart of all the cluster. Every time we work on one pod at a time. But what happens in case of failure of a Kubernetes node? So if the Kubernetes node can't bring to life again, or if it was too long to go to life, so we have two options. So the first option is to use the replace address first boot. We configure this in a config map. So when the node goes down, we can edit the config map to fill it with the IP of the node which is go down, and then Kubernetes will. First, we need to also to delete the PVC which links the pod with the dead Kubernetes node. So once we delete the PVC, Kubernetes will restart this pod on another LC Kubernetes node, and because of the replace address first boot, the new pod. Which will come with the same name of the previous node which is done because of the stateful set, will also take all the data which was holding by the old IP address of the Cassandra node which is done. And in this case, there's also only one streaming phase of data. The other option is to use the plugin in order to ask to remove the node. So using the plugin, we can say, okay, remove the node which is down. So there will be transfer of data during the remove node. And once this is done, automatically, Kubernetes will, the plugin will delete the PVC also. And once it is done, Kubernetes will restart the pod on another healthy node. And also, in this case, there will be a streaming of data. So regarding this, we will more recommend to use the replace address as it streams data only once. Regarding the network encryption between Cassandra nodes and between the client and Cassandra, we are working on two choices. So the first one is to enable TLS encryption and directly in Cassandra. And we also are working to make the encryption at a service mesh level. So we are testing Istio on Likerd, and we will make a lot of bench to see if it's a viable solution for us. So the service mesh provides the encryption, but it will allow us to have some tracing and monitoring. We try Istio, and we were not really able to make it work. So we have a problem with the encryption with the CNI plugin. And if we don't use the CNI plugin at this time, we were other kind of problem. So it's still work in progress for now. And it's not really, really ready.
So currently, what can you do now with operator? You are able to deploy a new Cassandra cluster, which is rack-aware or zone-aware. You can scale it up or down, and you can also start cleanups after scaling up. You are able also to monitor this cluster using Prometheus and Grafana. You can also initialize or modify configuration parameters. You can schedule session repairs using Cassandra Reaper. You can add or remove data center, but for now it's only in the same region. What we will have, the multi-region operator, we will be able to add or remove this in different regions. We are able also to upgrade the versions of Cassandra or of the GVM, and in case of upgrade of Cassandra, we can also execute the upgrade disable tasks. We are able to replace or remove a node. In case of failure, for example, an out-of-memory exception, we can restart automatically a node. Kubernetes will do that for you. And also, we can start temporarily a Cassandra node and restart it on the same node for maintenance operation. For example, if you have a memory failure, you can replace the RAM and restart the node then on the same node. Work in progress. So Sébastien talked about that a few minutes ago about network encryption. We would like to use the service mesh for that. But for now, we have still some problems with it. We think that a service mesh would be more easy to use in production because we could use it for all our components, not only for Cassandra. So when we need to renew certificate, for example, it would be more easier for our exploitation team. We are still working on multi-regions, and Sébastien talked about that a few minutes ago. And also, we are testing. And we are still in the roadmap. This is the backup restore. We have not yet really started to work on it, but we will start on it soon. hopefully, we will use Cascop in production at the beginning of the next year. And we have already chosen which application. It is a critical application for us, but it will be a challenge. But we hope to do. We have seen that during our tests, what we were using on-premise servers in our data centers. For that, we had to use a network plugin, Calico. If we want to work in multi-region architecture, and also we did some tests on GCP. If you want to use Cascop, here are the prerequisites. Of course, you need a Kubernetes cluster with nodes in this cluster, and those nodes must have label if you want to be rack-aware or zone-aware. You will have also. You will need also some local and persistent storage. You will need a Cassandra image. You can find this image in our GitHub, if you want, and also rootable IP addresses for pods. It's required if we want to access to this pod from outside of a Kubernetes cluster. We need also TLS certificates for encryption, of course, and we have enabled global access control. And of course, you will need some tools for monitoring and for scheduling repair sessions. As a conclusion, what we can say for now is that we have seen that Kubernetes and Cassandra can work well together. We have still some problems to solve with the service mesh, of course. And multi-region cluster is not yet available for now, but we hope it will come soon now because we have quite the beginning of a prototype now, and it works. Our observation when we're in Cassandra with Kubernetes and Cascop is that now we have difficult to say with Cassandra, but we have a better availability because Cassandra is very robust. But we think it is improved a little bit because we had some protection when we do some operation in production, for example, with the pod disruption budget which limits the node which can be down with automatic restarts. So it's help for high availability. About scalability, it's easier because we have more automation. About performances, we didn't observe any overhead, so for now it's okay. And what is very interesting for now is that with Cascop, we can interact with Cassandra only using Kubernetes API, and also we automate quite all the operations. So this operator is in the Orange GitHub. So here is the address of this GitHub. Don't hesitate also to download it, to try it. Here there is a tutorial, so I highly recommend to follow this tutorial, so you will see how it works. You will be able it explains how to deploy. First of all, how to deploy a Cassandra cluster, how to scale up, how to scale down, and quite all the operations that you would like to do. And don't hesitate also to give us your feedback. There is a mailing list here, and also you can join us via Slack. We have a Slack channel which is open. And also some greetings here because we had to. When we developed this operator, we needed a lot of expertise in several domains. And at Orange, we were able to find this expertise about the network, about security, about infrastructure, about cloud, and so on. So I would like to thank all those people. And also some other people we don't work at Orange, but who helped us a lot. For example, Adrien Trouillot from Admiralty. He's an expert about Kubernetes and have a very interesting GitHub for working on multi-region clusters, Kubernetes clusters. So we use some of his one of his framework for developing our multi-cascop operator. Instacluster also, so we are using his backup cluster package and also his Prometheus exporter. Adam Zeglin did a very interesting talk yesterday about the software open source by Instacluster. And also thanks to the Spotify team and the last people for creating and maintaining Cassandra Reaper. Greetings also for all the people who already began to contribute to this operator. And now, if you have any question, it's time for question.
In the pre-release section, you said you need to have your Cassandra image pre-level product. What does that mean? Can't they use only machine?
I'm sorry.
So, in one of the slides where you were showing that pre-requisite of using a Cascop, so you said,
we need
Cassandra image.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how different it is from the
old, in fact, we provide the 311 image. And actually, Cascop needs to have this image because there are some startup scripts which is used by Cascop to set up the Cassandra cluster when it boots. We are planning to migrate the specific parts, which is for now in our Cassandra image, in a specific init container. But it's not done for now. For now, it only works with this image, or if you had the same script in your image. It won't work directly if you use the standard Cassandra image because it won't have the specific script which is used to tune the Cassandra configuration.
What specifically is changed?
In fact, we use a specific config map which will allow us to modify some parts of the Cassandra YAML file. And which the script also will copy data from the config map to the Docker before it runs. So it's this part we will make this in a init container. So it will be independent from the image. But for now, we have to use the script as a part of the script which is specific to this part.
Okay. So there's a function of the lack of functionality in the existing Docker container.
Yes, we started with this container, but we added some specific parts which are not yet migrated into an init container to be able to use any image. Yeah.
Is there any network or scheduler tuning when starting Cassandra through the operator?
So the question is if we have network tuning to.
Network.
No, for now we have made some tests so in GCP without tuning, and for now as in our on-premise we use a Calico, and we have specific feature of Calico which allow us to use BGP routes. So this is what we have tuned. Yes, we have on-premise Kubernetes, which is on bare metal. And,
I was kind of curious, will it work, I don't know, Google or Amazon?
We have made a lot of tests in GKE, so it works also. And in the slides, there was a tutorial which is made on GKE.
Stateful set rack, would that mean that in AWS it will use only EBS storage, not local
instance
storage?
In fact, when we deploy, we can choose a storage class to use. So you in GKE, we don't use local storage, we use the default one. I think in Amazon, we can also use a storage class which works with Amazon.
Rely on the fact that if
a
pod is destroyed, the data remains in the stateful set.
In fact, okay, when the pod comes into the stateful set, it boots and it asks to have data which are stored using the storage class. So the data on the pod are two different things which have a different life cycle. So if the pod has to reboot, it will reattach the data and recover from it. Any other question?
Tell me about the goal of integrating like Istio and like what you're trying to do with the service mesh. Because and this is maybe me being fuzzy about how those things work, but do you anticipate Istio working together with like the internet communication of Cassandra?
So, for working on a GKE multi data center, we use Istio in order to be able to have pods to communicate with pods on the other data center, which is not our case and on premise because of the Calico plugin we use. So it's one part where Istio come in, and the other part is for the data encryption. So we will leverage certificate rotation from Istio directly, and we could manage this for inter Cassandra communication, but also with the client of the Cassandra. So we hope Istio will help us to manage this.
I'll talk to you after that. I have a bunch of questions about how the sidecar might be mangling an address. I'll talk to you afterwards.
Okay.
That's interesting.
Yo, thank you.